ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो चैप्टर 25 The Glories of Devotional Service, Text 16. Aham Mama Bhimanottai Kama Lobhadi Bhir Mamai Bitam Jada Manaha Suddham Adukham Ashukham Samam Aham Adi Bhimanathai Kama Lobhadi Birbhalai Bitam Jada Manah Suddham Adukham Asukham Samam Aham Mama Bhimanathai Kama Lobha Dibhir Malai Bitam Jata Manah Suddham Adukham Asukham Samam Aham Adi Bhimanathai Kama Lobha Dibhir Malai Bitam Jada Manah Suddham Adukham Asukham Samam Aham, I, Mama, mine, Abhimana, from the misconception, Uttai, produced, Kama, lust, Lobha, greed, Adibhi, and so on, Malai, from the impurities, Bitam, freed, Yada, when, Manaha, the mind, Suddham, pure, Adukham, without distress, Asukham, without happiness, Samam, equipoised. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When one is completely cleansed of the impurities of lust and greed produced from the false identification of the body as I and bodily possessions as mine, one's mind becomes purified. In that pure state, he transcends the stage of so-called material happiness and distress. Please repeat. When one is completely cleansed, of the impurities of lust and greed produced from the false identification of the body as I and bodily possession as mine, one's mind becomes purified. In that pure state, he transcends the stage of so-called material happiness and distress. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Calm and lobe are the symptoms of material existence. Everyone always desires to possess something. It is said here that desire and greed are the products of false identification of oneself with the body. When one becomes free from this contamination, then his mind and consciousness also become freed and attain their original state. Mind, consciousness, and the living entity exist. Whenever we speak of the living entity, this includes the mind and consciousness. The difference between conditional life and liberated life occurs when we purify the mind and the consciousness. When they are purified, one becomes transcendental to material happiness and distress. In the beginning, Lord Kapila has said that perfect yoga enables one to transcend the platform of material distress and happiness. How this can be done is explained here. One has to purify his mind and consciousness. This can be done by the Bhakti Yoga system, as explained in the Narada Pancharatra. One's mind and senses should be purified. Tat paratvena nirmalam. One's senses must be engaged in devotional service to the Lord. That is the process. The mind must have some engagement. One cannot make the mind vacant. Of course, there are some foolish attempts to try to make the mind vacant or void, but that is not possible. The only process that will purify the mind is to engage it in Krishna. The mind must be engaged. If we engage our mind in Krishna, naturally the consciousness becomes fully purified, and there is no chance of the entrance of material desire and greed. Aham adi bhi aham mama bhi manathai kama lobha divir malai bitam jata mano jada manosuddham adukham asukham samam. When one is completely cleansed of the impurities of lust and greed produced from the false identification of the body as I and bodily possessions as mine, one's mind becomes purified. In that pure state, he transcends the stage of so-called material happiness and distress. So, Kapil Muni is instructing his mother. After his father left home, his mother was left by his father at his custody. He told him to take care of his mother. And his mother, who was well aware of the fact that her son is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, asked him some questions. And in response to those questions, Kapil Muni is mentioning these instructions. Actually, Devahuti's question is very simple, very pertinent question, that how can I become free from this miserable entanglement of the body? How can I become free from this dangerous situation that I am in? And how can I become free from these very disgusting onslaughts of the senses? And while answering the questions, Kapil Muni, in the previous verse, made it a point that is the mode of the material nature that causes one to become entangled in the material nature. Or when one becomes entangled in the material nature, when one is situated in the material nature, he automatically becomes subjected to the three modes of material nature. And yesterday we discussed that actually it is the mode of passion and ignorance that causes the bondage. And when one transcends the influence of the mode of passion and ignorance and comes to the mode of goodness, he somewhat realizes the condition of material nature, but he cannot properly understand the spiritual reality. Mode of goodness is not enough. That's also a material mood. Goodness, it's in the goodness. It is not, it is recognizing the influence, the evil or undesirable influence of the passion and ignorance. But in itself, mode of goodness is not enough to free one from the bondage of the material nature. That is the difference between conditioned stage and liberated stage. The stage in which the consciousness of the living entity is attracted by the three modes of material nature is conditional life. But when that same consciousness is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is situated in the consciousness of liberation. So bondage and liberation is simply a matter of being separated from the Lord and being attached to the Lord. When we are separated from the Lord, we are in the material nature. When we are connected to the Lord, we are in the spiritual nature. And in today's verse, he is pointing out that ultimately it's a matter of consciousness and mind. Now, what is the link between consciousness and mind? Consciousness is the inherent characteristic of a living entity. The soul is there, and wherever there is a spirit soul, the consciousness must be there. This consciousness is the symptom of life, meaning the consciousness is a symptom of the existence of the soul. Wherever there is a soul, there must be consciousness. Or we can say, wherever there is consciousness, there must be a soul. Is a tree conscious? And if a conclusion is yes, a tree is also conscious, then we have to conclude that there is a soul in the tree. Although to our bare eyes it may appear that a tree doesn't have a soul, tree is not a living entity. And that is the difference between the Vedic understanding and non-Vedic understanding. There are many other religions that accept the existence of the soul, but they do not accept that the trees and plants have a soul. What to speak of trees and plants? Christianity doesn't even accept that the animals have soul. Like, I find it very, very surprising that their concept of soul is so incomplete, or they don't actually have any understanding of the soul. Now Christianity doesn't accept the animals have soul. Do you know what the Muslims say? They say the women do not have soul. So the point is that they don't understand what the soul is. They don't have any understanding of what the soul is. That's why They make such strange conclusions. But the Vedic scriptures give us the perfect understanding of the soul. What is a soul? Soul is the source of consciousness. Just as fire has inherent characteristic of light. Wherever there is fire, there is light. Or wherever there is light, there is fire. We cannot separate light from fire. We may not feel the fire, we may not feel the heat, but whenever we see light, we have to conclude, an intelligence conclusion will be that there is fire. Like there is this light. A layman may not understand that there is fire, but a knowledgeable person will know that there is fire. That's what is happening. electricity is passing through the filament. And the filament is causing the resistance to the flow of electricity. And as a result of that, the filament is becoming hot, the resistance. And that heat is generating the light. That heat is fire. And it is generating the light. Similarly, when you look at the sun, we may not see that sun is fire, but general conclusion is that the sun is a ball of fire, is a huge source of fire, a fiery planet, and that's why it's giving out light. So just as wherever there is light, we have to understand that the source of that light is fire, similarly, wherever there is consciousness, we have to conclude that the source of that consciousness is the soul. So soul and consciousness cannot be separated. That is the chit aspect. A soul is sat chit ananda. A soul is eternal, sat. Soul is imperishable. Soul will never die. Na jayate mriyate va kadache. Ajo nitya shashvato ayam purana. Na hannate hanna maneshati. So that is the nature, that's the characteristic of the soul. Eternal, ever existing, everlasting. So that is the sat aspect of the soul. Then the chit aspect is the consciousness aspect of the soul. The soul is conscious. And soul is constantly hankering for ananda. In its natural state, a soul is anandamaya. Soul is anandamaya. Just as Krishna is anandamaya, the soul is anandamaya. But that ananda aspect of the soul is relative to its connection to Krishna. When the soul is connected to Krishna, it is anandamaya. When the soul is separated from Krishna, then this ananda aspect is missing. He becomes Nirananda. So these three characteristics that are spiritual and that are inherent in Krishna are also present in a spirit soul in its constitutional position. But he loses his constitutional position. He loses his constitutional position when it separates from Krishna. An example for that is just like a spark of fire, a spark is fire. But when the spark becomes separated from fire and falls on a heap of ash, that spark loses its fiery qualities and becomes ash. Originally it is fire, but it's a minute fire. So for the minute fire to maintain its fiery quality by itself is not possible. When the spark is separated from fire, it just loses its fiery quality. And losing the fiery quality means ash. When the fire is gone, then the spark is nothing but a speck of ash. It falls in a heap of ash and it becomes ash. But actually it has the ability to be ignited into a fire. But to become ignited to fire, it needs to go back to the fire. So similarly, a living entity, a jiva, when he is connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he possesses these spiritual qualities that the Lord has. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. So Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha. And when a jiva is connected to Krishna, he is Satchidananda Vigraha. But when a living entity becomes separated from Krishna, then he falls into Krishna's external energy, Maya. Maya means illusion. He falls into that illusory condition. And in that illusory condition, he loses its original identity, and falling in matter, in the world of matter, it becomes matter. It starts to identify itself with matter. Therefore, a living entity, the jiva, begins to consider that his body is his self. He identifies himself with the body. And then, again, there are two types of bodies. Subtle body and the gross body. Two types of material body. Material nature is made of 8 elements. Bhumi, Rapo, Analo, Vayu, Khang, Mano, Buddhi, Revacha, Ahankara. Mind, intelligence, false ego, earth, water, fire, air, ether. 5 are gross and 3 are subtle. With the 5 gross elements, he gets a gross body. This body, the gross body is made of 5 gross elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. All these elements are there in the body. This body is composed of these 5 elements. But beyond this gross body, there is another body, subtle body, made of mind, intelligence and false ego. False ego, the first covering for a living entity. False ego, mistaken identity. The moment a living entity comes to the material nature, or we can say, the moment a living entity looks away from Krishna, because it is minute, its consciousness is very minute. The conscious minute means it is like a ray of consciousness. A living entity's consciousness is like a ray of consciousness. That ray of consciousness, can be projected only on one point. A living entity's living entity can project his consciousness only in one direction. It can either project its consciousness towards Krishna, or it can project its consciousness away from Krishna. When a living entity projects his consciousness away from Krishna, then what is away from Krishna? Krishna's external energy. There are only two things. Krishna's internal energy or Krishna's external energy. When you're looking towards Krishna, we are looking towards Krishna's internal potency. When you're looking away from Krishna, we are looking at Krishna's external energy. And when we look towards external energy, which is inferior. But jiva bhutang mahabaho jajedang dharjate jagat. The jiva bhutang, the living entities, are coming from Krishna's superior energy. Living entities are coming from the superior energy of Krishna. But aparayam itastannam. This material nature is Krishna's inferior energy, apara. But prakritiṁ vidhi me param. The internal energy is the superior energy. External energy is inferior energy. Living entities are coming from superior energy. And it's looking now towards the inferior energy. What happens when a superior comes across an inferior? He develops a tendency to lord over. It's a natural tendency. As soon as a living entity comes across this inferior material nature, because he's superior, he develops a tendency to lord over. Now the tendency to lord over is the cause of his false ego. It's a matter actually. This tendency is an influence of a certain matter called false ego, which causes the covering to the living entity. It becomes covered by false ego. False ego, mistaken. He becomes covered with a mistaken identity. Instead of becoming the servant of Krishna, he identifies himself to be the lord and master of this material nature. And that's the first covering. Then, through intelligence, he gets the covering of intelligence, and as a result of that, he begins to think, how is he going to exploit this material nature? Mano shashtani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. He tries to exploit this material nature. This exploitation of the material nature is the result of the intelligence, or is caused by the intelligence. And how does he try to exploit this material nature? Man and five senses. Mind and five senses. Mano shashtan indriyani. So then comes the covering of the mind through which his consciousness flows towards the material direction. His consciousness now is flowing constantly towards the material direction. And that is the mind. Mind is the medium. It's a substance which is the medium for consciousness to flow to the material direction. So so this is how a living entity becomes entangled. Now the existence aspect of a living entity is relative to its consciousness. When a living entity is conscious, he is existing. When a living entity is unconscious, he is not existing. Is not aware of his existence. So when a living entity is conscious, in this material nature, his consciousness is flowing constantly through the mind. Now, as it has been pointed out in the previous verse, condition and liberation is a matter of just a flow of consciousness in two different directions. When the consciousness is flowing towards the material direction, it is a conditioned stage. When the consciousness is flowing towards Krishna, that is a Krishna conscious state or liberated state. So, now, in the material nature, the mind is flowing towards, the consciousness is flowing through the mind. Therefore, there is so much importance given to the mind. In this verse is saying that two most important considerations for a living entity's existence is consciousness and mind. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is giving so much emphasis on this mind. Man manabhava. Time and time again, Krishna is pointing. With your mind you think of me. With your mind you think of me, what does it mean? Change your consciousness. Through your mind, your consciousness is flowing towards the material direction. Now you change the direction. Don't think of matter. Don't let your consciousness be projected to matter. Rather, let your consciousness come towards the spiritual direction. Think of me. So this is actually a process of changing one's consciousness. Now, Prabhupada is making a very important point here, is that changing of consciousness of mind, changing the activity of the mind from material to spiritual is not possible by any other means other than devotional service. Ashtanga yoga process and other processes, actually they try to do that. All the other spiritual activities are actually meant to change the consciousness, flow of consciousness. But they get caught up with some misconception. They think that it actually means to stop the mind from thinking. We can't blame them because the first aphorism of yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, by Patanjali, is Atho Chitta Vritti Nirodha. Or yoga chitta vritti nirodha. The process of yoga is to stop the vritti, the activities of chitta or mind. Stop the activities of the mind. But what it actually means, stop the material activities of the mind. But the less informed people think now, so we have to stop the activities of the mind. That means stop the mind from thinking. But that will never happen. Mind will never be able to stop thinking. Now only when you become unconscious, then we can. Probably you'll stop thinking when you're dead. But still then we won't. Because the subtle body will be there and the activity of the subtle body will continue. The consciousness will be dwelling in the subtle body, just like in a dream. We are asleep, but we are dreaming. Consciousness is still active, but on the subtle plane. There is a stage when it is complete cessation of consciousness, that is a state of sushupti. That is a state of total inactivity of the soul, deep sleep, which is considered to be tamishra and andha tamishra. This is a region. When the soul goes into that region, then the soul is completely inactive. Inactive means the soul doesn't have any consciousness project, active consciousness. But that is not the desirable state. Our goal of life is not to die. But this system or this misconception is leading them to think that, to become dead. The Buddhists, the impersonalists, that is their goal. Shunna, void. Become completely unconscious. But unconsciousness, to become unconscious, is not the goal of life, cannot be the goal of life. We are conscious. The goal is actually to become super conscious. The goal of life is not to become unconscious, but to become super conscious. The goal of life is to become Krishna conscious. So that is what one understands when one comes across a bona fide spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada. It is through the teachings of Srila Prabhupada we become aware of these facts. Otherwise, we were in ignorance also. We are in atamishra and anatamishra, the deepest darkness of ignorance. But Prabhupada gave us the right understanding. Chitta vritti nirodha doesn't mean to stop the activities of the mind, but to stop the material activities of the mind and develop the spiritual consciousness. From an impure state of existence, get into the purified state of existence. And that is being explained by Kapil Dev here in simple words. He's saying, when one is completely cleansed of the impurities of lust and greed produced from the false identification of the body as I. As we considered before, the spark came out of fire and fell on the heap of ash and began to identify itself with ash. That's what happened to us. We became separated from Krishna, fallen into the material nature, and began to identify ourselves with matter. This body is matter. It's not our real identity. And that is our false identification. That is the root of our false ego. Identifying our gross and subtle bodies to be ourselves. Now as a result of identifying with the body, then what is happening? We are developing lust and greed. We are trying to enjoy by exploiting other bodies. That is what lust is. A living entity identifying himself as the gross body, as the material, as body made of matter, and he tries to enjoy by exploiting other material bodies. That is the definition of lust. And to desire to possess more and more in order to enjoy, that is greed. But these two are the basic characteristic or basic influence of the mode of passion and ignorance. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobha dayascha je kama lobha dayascha je. So here also kama lobha dibhir malai, kama, lust, and lobh, greed. Adibhi means etc. Begins with lust, greed, and etc. What are the other ones? Anger, illusion, envy, pride. Lust, greed, illusion, envy, anger, and pride. These are the six impurities of the soul. So how to purify them? The way to purify them is, as Prabhupada explained very clearly in the purport, Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness. Turn your consciousness towards Krishna. How to do that? By constantly thinking of Krishna with the mind. Consciousness is flowing through mind. But think of Krishna. That will make the consciousness to become purified. That means consciousness will be now projected towards the spiritual direction instead of the material direction. In the material nature, we are having all kinds of undesirable influences, and those undesirable influences will become purified by being projected properly onto Krishna. Becoming, so that's the beginning of Krishna consciousness. This terminology that Srila Prabhupada applied for bhakti, devotional service, is so appropriate. Krishna consciousness. Very simply it explains what is our purpose, what is our goal, what's our objective. Krishna consciousness. Think of Krishna. Allow your consciousness to be projected towards Krishna. Then the rest will happen. First is manmana bhava. And then the result of that, when mind is projected onto Krishna, then teshang shatata yuktanam bhajatang pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam. I give him spiritualized intelligence, buddhi yogam. So this buddhi yoga is the purification or proper application of intelligence. All this while we are trying to exploit the material nature with our intelligence, and now that intelligence is projected towards Krishna and thinking, how am I going to serve Krishna? That is the buddhi yoga. So intelligence is purified. It all begins with mind. Mind is projected towards Krishna, then the intelligence is purified. Because he is satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam. When he is constantly engaged in devotional service, his intelligence is purified, because intelligence is thinking, how is he going to render his service to Krishna? And when the intelligence is in this purified in this way and he becomes a devotee of Krishna, then does he have a false ego? Then can he possibly have a false ego? No, his false ego, mistaken identity, has been rectified to his pure consciousness or pure identification of himself as Jiver Swarup Hai Krishna Nityadash. When he becomes a servant of Krishna, he is situated in his actual identity, in his spiritual identity, Jiver Swarup Hai Krishna Nityadash. Now the question is, now at that stage, does he have a mind? Does he have intelligence? Does he have? Does he have a question? Is at that stage, does he have a subtle body? Does he have a subtle body? No. He is free from the covering of his subtle body. He is situated in his pure spiritual identity as a servant of Krishna. So he may have a gross body, but he doesn't have a subtle body. And that stage, that means he is in his pure spiritual identity. So at that stage, he is called Jivan Mukta, liberated stage. Although he is in his apparently material body, but he is liberated. Iha Jasya Harer Dasye Karmana Manasa Gira Nikhila Shapi Avasthasu Jivan Mukta Sochati. Jivan Mukta stage. And this Jivan Mukta stage, or this stage, is also known as Sarup Siddhi, the perfection of his spiritual identity. He is Sarup Siddhi. He is situated in his spiritual identity, perfect spiritual identity. Although he is in his material body, but he is a liberated soul. And that is the state of a pure devotee. Although he is in his material body, but he is in the material body, there is a pure spiritual personality. When one is completely cleansed of the impurities of lust and greed produced from the false identification of the body as I and bodily possessions as mine, one's mind becomes purified. In that pure state, he transcends the stage of so-called material happiness and distress. So Kapil Muni is pointing out that at that stage, he is not affected by his material condition, physical condition of happiness and distress. Because he is beyond that. He is not being affected by the physical condition anymore. Because his consciousness now is situated in another dimension, in another plane. So what is happening here through the body, he is not affected by that. So that is the sign of a liberated soul. So, and Srila Prabhupada very emphatically pointed out that one can achieve that state only through pure devotional service, not by any other means, not by austerities, not by penances, not by Ashtanga Yoga, not by any other so-called spiritual activities. The actual spiritual process, the actual effective spiritual process is Krishna consciousness. And we are very fortunate that we somehow found it, we somehow got it, by Prabhupada's mercy and by the mercy of Prabhupada's devotees, who had been so effectively distributing this process. And if we apply the process, then we'll see how it works. One applies the process and he becomes purified. What is the sign of purification, as we were discussing yesterday? The sign of this purification is how one lives his body, lives here or her body. We're discussing about one devotee who just lived, just a simple lady, a housewife, left her body. And you could see that she left in such pure consciousness, as if she didn't have any entanglement, any attachment to the material nature. The time came to leave the body. Okay, it's a relief to get out of this material body and go back to the spiritual sky. Those who properly practice the process, even though in their lifetime they may not have achieved their perfection, but at the time of death, Krishna will help them to become 100% purified and go back. Because that awareness is there. Although physically we may not be able to properly come to that situation of perfection, but at the time of death, by nature's arrangement and by the arrangement of Krishna, we will see that now the time has come to become free from all our entanglement, all our attachment. And that is the consideration. The purity, as he is saying, is to become free from the entanglement of material nature, not to be affected by the happiness and distress of this material nature. And that will happen only when we are properly situated in our spiritual identity. And the process, we see, time and time again we are seeing how this process works. How effective is this process? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question? Yes.
Why senses is not identified as an element of subtle body?
Because it's gross.
Senses is gross.
Yeah. See, say for example, eyes. Why? How is it functioning? Eyes are senses. They are one aspect of our senses. Now the eyes are seeing. Eyes interact with light or fire. Eyes interact with fire. And as a result of that, it is perceiving the objects of the eyes, the form. Through eyes we see forms. Now those impressions, or you can even say those information, are carried from eyes through the nervous system to the brain center. Now the eyes are made of matter, the nerves are made of matter, the brain center is made of matter. So the system is actually matter. Therefore, these senses are matter. Same thing with our ears. Our ears are made of matter. The nerves that are carrying the information are made of matter. Carrying it to the brain center, that's also made of matter. But then, who is there in the brain center? The mind. And mind is registering that.
That was my question.
The mind is subtle.
Unless the mind is interacting with the
mind is subtle. Therefore, mind is a subtle aspect of the sense. It's a sixth sense, the mind. But other five senses are material. Mind is subtle. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mahārāj. In the earlier part of the class, you were mentioning how the soul is Sat, Chit, Ananda, and the Ananda aspect is dependent on its connection with the Lord. Can you tell us something more about the Sat and Chit? Is it all that also dependent, or that is, you specifically mentioned about the Ananda aspect?
Yeah, right. The thing is, you see, like even though we are not connected to Krishna, the Chit aspect is there. Like we are conscious, the conscious aspect is there. And the other two are dependent, relative to that aspect of consciousness. Because our existence is relative to our consciousness. Yeah? Like I am because I am conscious. When I am not conscious, am I existing? Right? But in the material nature, because we are identifying ourselves with the body, that aspect of our consciousness is not eternal. Because our body is transient, perishable. Therefore, that is temporary. Our consciousness becomes, our existence becomes temporary. But the Ananda aspect, you see, living entity, because it is Ananda, you know, it has that Ananda aspect in it, it tries to get the Ananda. It tries to get Ananda, and the medium for getting Ananda is actually prema, love. So, when one is in a conditioned stage, he tries to get the Ananda through loving exchange with other entities. But because it's in a false platform, it's never effective, or it's never fulfilled. So, this Ananda will be achieved only when a jiva establishes connection with Krishna. And the way to establish his connection to Krishna is through prema. Love is the force that causes two entities to become united. Love is actually the force that causes the unification. And but the thing is, this is actually, this love is actually meant to be connected to Krishna. This energy is actually meant to be connected to Krishna. But when one is oblivious of Krishna, he tries to connect himself with others through this love. But you know, the end result is not there. Therefore, I said that only when one is connected to Krishna, he experiences the ananda aspect. Otherwise, this ananda is reflected in the material nature in the form of happiness or sukha. Sukh is not ananda. Sukh is cessation of suffering condition. Whereas ananda is opposite to suffering condition. If darkness is suffering, then light is ananda. Now some sort of artificial means to remove darkness is sukh. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Okay. Priyavrata, do you have a question?
Yeah, I'm just trying to analyze this particular question. You were saying that anand, what we get here is in a minute or
is a reflect is a reflection.
Reflect. And there is a anand with Krishna is on the full, complete
right.
Anand,
right.
And permanently.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Because he's in ananda all the time.
Right,
and
yeah.
And we will just get it temporarily and we think I'm satisfied. But again comes the misery and then we get
right.
About it.
Right, exactly.
If you want the fullness, you have to get that
Krishna.
That's only
yeah, because he's anandamai. So being connected to anandamai, we become also anandamai.
So practical, very scientific.
Yes, Krishna consciousness is a science. Yes, Gagana.
This is a quote from Bhagavad Gita. In the first time in Indian, Krishna is saying this, exploiting mind and senses, but not why with intelligence and falsehood. Only.
Well, that is Indriyanam in. What is that verse? In Indriyabha Param. Indriyani Param Nahul. Indriyabha Param Manaha. Manas has to Parabuddhi. So this is the like the gross material object, from gross material objects, indriya, the senses are superior. From the senses, mind is an intelligence, and mind is superior. And even superior to the mind is the intelligence. So you see, prakriti sthani karshati, exploiting. Who is karshati? The mind, and with the mind and intelligence, with the mind and the senses, is exploiting. But intelligence is above that, which is considering how the mind and the senses will exploit successfully. So that arrangement is made by intelligence. That's why it is superior, or because it is superior, it is actually making those arrangements. The intelligence, the mind itself, or the senses itself cannot actually infer without the intelligence. Yes, Radha Pyari?
Pretty much by engaging the mind about Krishna, we can purify the mind, but how to purify the gross body and how important it is in devotional service to always purify.
Good, very good point. When the subtle body is purified. We are actually not talking only of the purification of the mind. The end result of the purification of mind will also include the purification of intelligence and transformation of false ego. Right? So that means the subtle body is purified. So when the subtle body is purified, then the gross body is automatically purified. How? As Prabhupada gave the example that when an iron rod is placed on fire, it becomes fire. Right? It becomes red hot. It becomes fire. So similarly, when the pure spirit soul is existing, you know, like purification of the subtle body means what? spiritualization of the self. Now he is a pure spirit soul dwelling in the apparently material body. Now is that material or spiritual? So the body is spiritualized. Therefore, a pure it is said that the body of a pure devotee is spiritual. It is not material. Okay, so thank you. Do you have a question? Yeah, see? Why are you hesitating?
You said that the body is made of parts, like material things. So, animal's body also are made of the same process?
Yes, what do you think? When you touch an animal body, do you feel the heat? Yeah? So where did the heat come from?
From the sun.
No, in the animal body, when you touch the animal, right, do you feel the heat in the body? Just like you touch a living body. Is it hot?
Yeah.
You touch it. Did you ever touch a dead body?
No.
Okay. Yeah, so you know at least. Theoretically, it's cold. But why is living body is hot? Because there is fire in the body.
Fire.
Right. Does a body breathe? So what is the breathing process is consisting of?
Fire.
Air, not fire. Breathing is not true. Does an animal breathe? Does an animal breathe? So there is air also in the body. Because through breathing, the air is circulating in his body. So, you can see there is solid substance, there is liquid substance in the body, there is fire, there is ether, and there is also air, and there is also ether. So yes, all living bodies, even a tree's body is made of five elements. Trees also breathe. Yes.
They don't have senses.
They have their senses, but not as active as your senses. The trees, Acharya Jagadish Bose, he developed a machine through which he could demonstrate that trees also feel happiness and pain. Okay, any other question? Thank you all very much. Gaur Premanande.